Okay, I want to read the scripture lesson this morning. And if you would like to follow along in your pew Bibles, I think you have the page number there in your bulletin or in your Bible. The passage in Mark describes Jesus being challenged by a teacher of the law. And he's kind of trying to see what Jesus is made of. So beginning in verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, what is the most important?" "The most important one," mentioned Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." You may be seated. Pastor Len is going to announce, my wife isn't here today. She's having some health issues. And I've asked God to be put on the prayer chain for this church as well. Jen and I are members of Hagerstown Church as a brother, and we've been active there for many years. And she's on the prayer list there as well. So if you can remember her, hopefully the time. She had a good night yesterday, or last night she had a good night, and today she's feeling a little better. So hopefully that will continue as we work our way deeper into that. She's asked me a ton of questions about the congregation, and I've just told her just a little bit that I know about your church thus far. And I hope to get to know all of you, to know your name. And so if I don't know your name the first time, please forgive that. It may take me several times to get your name down. But we will be together at least for 6 months. During that time, I hope to grow to love and cherish each one of you during this time. Jen and I have 5 grandchildren. Our oldest is 14 and our youngest is 8. No, 6. Our youngest is 6. And so we're watching them grow up. I'm sure many of you have grandparents and you have grandchildren and maybe even some great-grands here in the congregation. And I know it's fun watching children grow up and watch them experience everything. I enjoy being a parent, raising my son and my daughter. I enjoyed those things, and the time goes by very fast. Those of you that are parents and have young children, cherish each day with your children because it goes very, very fast. And they're grown before you know it. But then you have the honor of holding your first grandchild, and that was quite an honor. My daughter took a picture of me holding our first grandchild. And he's now 14, so he's growing up very fast as well. So let's have a word of prayer, then we will begin. Lord, touch each one of us with your love and hear your words today. And use me as an instrument of your will to communicate your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Title of the sermon is How to Be Happy. And I'm going to illustrate the one basic truth about happiness. Happiness isn't in somebody else. It isn't in a building or a book or anything else. It's inside of us. And I'm going to illustrate that again and again. And I'm going to start with a story about my own mother. Right at the end of her life, they found a tumor on her spine. And it took them 5 times to figure out what was going on with her. And they put her in the hospital, and after that operation, it took about 5 hours to get most of the tumor out. She had to go and do physical therapy. And she was in the same room with another lady. And she would tell me, she said, "You know, the lady next to me doesn't want to do much. All she wants to do is lay in her bed." And the nurse would come in and tell my mother, "Shirley, are you ready to get up?" She would say yes. And they would have her roll down, put her in a wheelchair, roll down the hall, and then they'd take her up to physical therapy in order to get her back on her feet. The woman she was with just laid there, basically, day after day after day. And the hospital said to her family, "We can't treat her anymore. All we can do is discharge her." And my mother one time invited me to come to watch physical therapy. This is the old Washington County Hospital. So I went up one day and I watched. And I was very impressed with the work that they did. They had her stack cones and they had her put on the parallel bars. And I noticed that they were very hard on her, but they were very kind and very loving towards her as well. Encouraging her, "Shirley, come on, you can do this." Now, the reason my mother responded to therapy so well was because she valued who she was. She wanted to live. She loved herself enough that she wanted to do this therapy. My mother at this point had 8 grandchildren and a few great-grandchildren, and she wanted to be around to love us and to love her extended family. And much of how we go through life is about how we feel about who we are and what we're about. Now, the scripture lesson that I read, Jesus is asked a question, and he asked, what are the 2 greatest laws in the scripture as a text? And we all heard this scripture many times. You have to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. And second is like unto this. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I'm convinced the most critical part of that verse is the last 2 words, as yourself. If we don't value who we are, if we don't love ourselves, then everything else becomes either impossible or beyond our reach. Now, many times when people talk about self-love, it's confused with arrogance. Arrogance is really a form of self-hate, where you have to go around and down other people because you don't feel good about yourself. So self-love, to me anyway, becomes a very important part of our Christian lifestyle. If we love ourselves, if we value who we are, then everything else can fall into place for us. Now, when you get up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, and I brush my teeth and I shave every day, what do you think about when you see yourself? Got some response that time, didn't I? I used to have gray hair. I used to have brown hair. I don't have that anymore. I could jump real high. I could run real hard. Can't do that anymore. But I do value who God has created in me. I still love that man I see in the mirror. I still value what he can do. I still love that person I see there. And because of that, I in turn could love my wife and my grandchildren and my friends and the people that I come across with. There's an old expression to say, God didn't break any junk. And that's true. God loves each one of us. And because of that, we are valued to God. When you look at yourself, when you see yourself, the attitude that you have there will determine how you spend your time. If you think that you're not worth anything, if you find yourself lacking, if you find yourself unlovable, that's how you will process the world. There's an old expression that says, there's 2 ways when you get up in the morning, there's 2 expressions you can have. Good God morning, which means, oh, here we go again, or good morning to God, which is an expression which says that I'm going to have a good day today. I'm going to be loving and kind and compassionate and caring towards others. And it all starts with us. But no matter how we feel about ourselves, God's love is always there for us, always nurturing us, always encouraging us to take the next step, always ready to forgive our sins, no matter what they are. And there are many, many examples of this. Have you ever heard of the man Viktor Frankl? He was a Jewish psychiatrist in the Second World War, and he was shipped off to Auschwitz concentration camp. And when he got there, he decided 2 things. One, he was going to be happy there because he would survive this horror that was around him. And the second thing was he wanted to tell this story to the world, that every day he lived was one less day that this evil would survive. And when he was released from the concentration camp, he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, which is about his story being in the concentration camp. And now, not only did he survive, but he decided to be happy. And it was all an attitude. An attitude is how he looked at the world. You see, our minds, whether we know it or not, have great power. And we can use that power for good, and we can use it to destroy. And God gives us that choice. There's another example, too. Perhaps some of you remember Gary Powers, who was shot down as a Russian spy plane back in the early 60s. And the Russians captured him and tortured him and did all kinds of bad things to him. And he decided the same thing. He was going to survive. And when they were torturing him and putting him through all kinds of terrible things, he was building his own dream house. First he would put the foundation in, then he would put the windows in, then he would put the plants in. And when he was finally ready, and John Kennedy, when he came into office, that was the first thing he did, was relieve Gary Powers. He went and built his dream house. After all those years of time he spent, he built his dream house. You see, happiness is inside each one of us. It starts with us. Now, God's love is always there for us. But we have a decision to make about whether we accept it or not. In the Sunday school class I was in today, I was asked the question, have you ever known anybody that's very negative, very hostile, very angry, very bitter? And I guess we've all known people like that. And whenever I see someone like that, I try to love them, of course. And of course, they may reject me, and that's fine. But I also know they probably do not like themselves very much. God's love surrounds us, and at all times and in all circumstances. He loves us so much that he would send Jesus Christ to die for us. Many people have come to believe because they first start to love themselves and understand that God's love is there for them in all circumstances and in all situations in life. So are you happy now? If you look at yourself, do you find yourself happy? Are you at peace with the world? And if you are, God bless you. If you're not, then you probably need to look inside yourself and decide you need to forgive some people that hurt you. Now, if you would ever ask me if I ever struggled with this, the answer is yes. And I use the example for my wife that we have slayed the dragons. People that have hurt me, people that have done wrong for me, I have to dig deep inside of myself and say that God loves them just as much as he loves me. And that let's forgive and let's move on. So we can clean the slate. So we can start again. Lent is a period of new beginnings. We all know the story about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. In this next 40 days, the church will be looking at the experiences of Jesus when he fasted in the wilderness. It's also a time for us to look inside of ourselves, to see where we need to improve, to see where we need to forgive. You see, your attitude determines a lot about what happens to you in life. It can influence your relationships, can influence your health, it can influence how you see the world, it can influence how you do your work at your job, and the examples go on and on and on. God loves all of us. God is good. God is love. And God wants us to be happy. And in order for us to be completely happy, we may need to clean out our mind a little bit and to forgive and to move on. We can't change the past. What has happened to us is there. But what we can do is try to look at it in a different way. To forgive, to understand, and to move on. Now, when I was in high school, I was a young boy there who hated my guts. And when I was first there, I didn't understand anything about why all of a sudden he would turn on me this way. He had nothing but the most vilest thing to say to me and constantly criticized me. And I wondered about this. Well, anyway, years later, a friend of his came up to me and says, you know, it's too bad about George. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, his father used to beat him unmercifully. constantly. And then I understood. All the anger I carried inside of me disappeared. Because now I understood why he was the way he was. Because he had been so mistreated that he in turn turned on others. And many times the venom and the anger and the bitterness that's directed towards us usually has nothing to do with us, but rather a person's response to their own issues. They have to put it someplace. And I understand that George needed to put his anger someplace. And I was a convenient target for him. And I saw him years later. He had joined the Marine Corps. And when I saw him there, I said, I hope he's doing better. That was my thoughts to him then, as I began to understand why he was the way he was. So during this time of Lent, I'm going to be preaching about a lot of different topics. Next week will be about prayer. This week is about learning to be happy. As we go through life, I hope we find the Christian experience a happy one. Because I think that's what God wants for us, to be happy, to be joyful. And if we are that way, then we become better disciples. We become better Christians. We become better able to love and care and nurture one another. And that's what we're about. A lawyer comes and asks Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments? The most important one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like unto it, the RSV says, which means it's just as important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no two greater commandments than these. And it starts with us. To love ourselves as God loves us. And that's unconditional. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. Do we fall short? Certainly. But remember that God picks us up and says, let's try it again. I want you to be happy. I want you to be a disciple. And let's start again, a new beginning. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We could turn to page 444 in our hymnals and stand and sing together.